and welcome to ETY Podcast, Voices on the World of Work. I'm your host, Bianca Luna Fabris, and in this episode, we will be diving into domestic work, and we have a little bit of a special episode. We have teamed up forces with the European Federation of Food, Agriculture and Tourism Trade Unions, EFAT, and this is a conversation between Maddalena Colombi, she is head of comms at EFAT, Ozze Fagliello, researcher here at ETY, and Grace Papa, political secretary in charge of domestic work.
Welcome, Aud and Grace. What a pleasure to be with you today. Let's dive straight into the topic with the very first question to Grace. So Grace, you work for EFAT. Can you perhaps tell us a little bit more about what EFAT is and what you're doing for domestic workers?
Yes, sure. I am Grace Papa. And as you said, I am working for EFAT. EFAT is the European Federation of Trade Unions in the food, agriculture and tourism sectors. We are also representing domestic workers as the umbrella organization of 116 national trade unions from 37 European countries. EFAT defends the interests of more than 25 million workers in Europe. And I am a political secretary in charge of gender equality and diversity, but also especially responsible for the domestic work sector.
Let's turn to Aud. Just have a little bit of background. Would you want to give us a few facts and figures, perhaps, on how many domestic workers are legally employed in this sector and what are the major challenges that they face?
Yes. First of all, I think the umbrella term that is used when we, if people want to search for stats, is not only domestic work, it's also personal and household service sector and people involved in the sector. And as of now, according at least to the European Commission, 9.5 million workers are involved in this sector. And I think it's important also legally to emphasize that it covers care and non-care activity. So, you know, because sometimes we have a bit of an hour vision of this. And what is more important is that among this 9.5 million, 6.3 are legally employed. And when I say employed, carefully, it doesn't mean employee. Yeah? They can be also self-employed, which then has legal, like, you know, consequences. But also one is a big challenge as well is that 3.1 million are undeclared. So here we have two challenges that we can maybe dig later. First, some people are self-employed, maybe sometimes wrongly. So they have to be in charge of their own health and safety. And then a third are undeclared. So they are really left alone. And among all of that, there is a majority of workers who are women, which is also a challenge and place them in a specific situation also of vulnerability. And we need to be aware of it.
Thank you, Aud. Grace, I know that you have long worked for the union movement and you have recruited and organized domestic workers.
Yes, I have been organizing domestic workers for approximately 10 years in Belgium. And I would say it depends a lot on whether domestic workers are recognized in national legislation or not. For me, it was a bit easier because, you know, I organized domestic workers in Belgium. And in Belgium, domestic workers are part of the formal employment economy. So they enjoy the same rights as any other worker, including freedom of association. So there was in the past and still is no barrier for domestic workers to walk through the door of a trade union and demand their rights. Nevertheless, there are countries where domestic workers are recognized, but we don't see a high level of unionization and organizing domestic workers is still a challenge. I would say first, we need political will to recognize, to value and professionalize domestic workers in society, because it gives domestic workers more power and more self-assurance to organize. And then I would say we need strong trade unions that commit and invest in this sector. This is probably the most important challenge for trade unions today, because the idea that domestic workers are unorganizable because they are not recognized and undervalued and because they work in the shadow behind closed doors, etc. This is a false perception that trade unions have. There are multiple examples that shows that domestic workers are perfectly organizable. In Belgium, they are even the largest sector in the trade union organizations. And this has only been possible because the domestic work sector has been treated in the same exact way as all other sectors, with, of course, a significant investment from the trade union in communication, in legal counsel and human resources to organize these workers. And then lastly, I would say We need a little bit of creativity. We need to adapt our organizing methods to the realities of domestic workers by communicating in their language, by organizing weekend or late night meetings, by meeting them in their communities, in churches or mosques, in community events like Hispanic ferias or on community platforms such as Facebook, for example. We have been organizing domestic workers a lot on platforms, and it's important to understand them in order to organize these workers.
Picking up on what you just said, Grace, at EFAD, we have recently launched a campaign on domestic workers, haven't we? Can you maybe talk us through a little bit about that?
Sure. It's our recent campaign, and EFAD is really, really excited about it. We decided to call it a House of Dignity for All Domestic Workers. And the campaign is mainly targeting EU policymakers in the EU Commission and Parliament, but also our affiliates and politicians at national level. We believe that the EU institutions can have a real impact towards improved recognition, professionalization, and value for domestic workers. And to do so, we have identified three demands that we can ask the EU to take forward. And our first demand is to include domestic workers in the scope of the OSH framework directive, which is the legal framework on health and safety that is covering all other workers in the EU. And strangely enough, domestic workers are explicitly excluded from the scope of this directive. And we firmly believe that this is unacceptable and that domestic work is work, and that these 10 million of workers in the EU should be covered and should be working in a safe environment. The second demand is to urge the Commission to push EU member states to ratify and implement the ILO Convention 189. So the ILO Convention 189 is an international legal framework that gives protection to all domestic workers in the world. But so far in the EU, only 9 member states have ratified the convention. And even though the number of ratification in the EU is very low, for EFAD, implementation of the convention is even more important. And we are using this campaign to really, really push member states to address domestic workers' conditions in order for them to be covered and enjoy fundamental workers' rights. So yeah, basically the ILO convention is always in our agenda. It will continue to be in our agenda. Our third demand to the Commission is to promote a solid social dialogue platform at the EU level in the personal and household services. Social dialogue is a fundamental pillar of the European social model and a key instrument to improve the conditions of workers while facilitating engagement in collective bargaining at member states level. So yeah, at EFAD, we like to imagine that these pillars are the foundation of a house of dignity for domestic workers. And we chose a house because it is a universal symbol of protection and recognition, you know, a place where everyone should feel safe. And we actually made it produced, and we bring it with us to the policymakers when we meet with them. And when we meet with the politicians, we try to remind them that they're not only politicians, but also part of those million citizens or workers that enjoy work-life balance improvement thanks to domestic workers. Because there is certainly someone that is taking care of their houses and their beloved ones. And we think this is a fundamental aspect to draw their attention on. So to come back to the house that we built, if anyone wants to have it and to try to build a house of dignity, we have made it available on our website. So you can just print it out and build it yourself.
Thank you, Grace. And then looking at the EU level, what sort of protection do domestic workers have, if they have any protection?
Well, the thing is, Grace said, they at the moment do not have any in the form of a legally binding provision. And it goes even beyond this. It means that there is an official and explicit exclusion of domestic workers from the health and safety legal framework. So the Directive 89/391 EEC, which is the core of health and safety. And why is it so bad? First of all, practically, and also, I think, legal consideration. I think it's important to remember that EFAT is trying to get a house of dignity. At the moment, without protection for these workers, this can potentially be a house of dangers. And just maybe just a sentence reminding everyone that these workers are exposed to risks. When they're handling chemicals, when they are cleaning, for example, there is major risk when you do this. Huh? This is a strong product. There is also all the heavy loads that they are carrying around. Sometimes also the house is not also a safety environment as clean as we have in offices. And for example, like risk that we maybe don't think about, but when we're prepping the meals, all these kind of things, the risk of being burned. So I think we have a wrong vision because they are often seen as Grace said, non-valued work, or there is a gender dimension of the work which is performed. Also because, as you say, it's domestic work. So we don't realize how dangerous they are, but the risks are real. So excluding these workers from the framework directive and all the principle of prevention is extremely dangerous because it leaves this worker unprotected. So what happens considering that they are excluded from the framework directive? Well, this is up to the national legislation. And when we look at the details, it's like 10, maybe now with Spain recently, like 11 countries who are broadening the scope of application of OSH to these workers. We're 27. It means that there is, 16 countries at least where they are left unprotected. And this is really dangerous. Even though, and just saying, the European Parliament said in a report in 2016 that they should be, covered. They said, the problem is the exception of workers directly employed by private households. So this is another, conception, the fact that a private person cannot be an employer, cannot assess risk. This is wrong. They can. And if you are employing someone, even if you are a private employer, there are tools that can be put in place to assess the risks. And this is up to the EU, up to the national government to put that in place to make it happen, because it has to happen. So yeah, this is where we are legally. It's nothing at the EU level, and it's up to national member states with the patchwork, not to say holes in the coverage.
And taking it to the international level, maybe can you talk a little bit about the ILO Convention 189 on domestic workers?
Yeah, so Grace mentioned it before. One of the revendications and one of the demand of EFAT is indeed pushing member state to ratify the ILO Convention 189 that has been adopted in 2011. Just saying that this is not something recent. And there is something particularly important here in the Article 13, which is about health and safety and the fact that each member of the ILO ratifying need to ensure that the law, the regulation and practices has to lead to guaranteeing occupational health and safety for domestic workers. And this is why pushing these member states or these states to ratify is so important. And as of now, there is not a lot either. Right? This is not one of the convention that is ratified by a lot of people. Just saying at the moment, there is only Belgium, Finland, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Portugal, Sweden, and Spain that is forthcoming in 2004. Once again, 27. There is a problem here. So even we need to make a real push, also because now health and safety is a fundamental right for the ILO. But the thing is, even this recognition won't affect this convention. So on this convention, it won't be automatic. And we need to do the job to bring light on it and push countries to ratify it.
I think so. I mean, I think the challenges at the supranational level are quite clear, but maybe I'd like to come back a bit on what Grace said before about the Belgian case, which seems to me to be a best practice example.
Yeah, I think the reason for Belgium to be the best case or the best example of good practices is not only because of the so well-known voucher system scheme that was created by the government in 2004, and that is highly subsidized. This is helping, of course. It's showing that there is political will to recognize and value and professionalize domestic workers that were actually already working informally before the creation of the voucher system. So I think political will to recognize domestic work as work is key. Political will to formalize informal work. Political will to recognize that these are essential services that are provided to families and individuals. And therefore adequately subsidized. So political will is key. It's the first requirement. And then I would say having strong trade unions that are representing domestic workers and defending their rights is essential. And Belgian trade unions have definitely speed up the process towards better recognition of workers' rights by organizing them, by training them, and making collective bargaining possible. And lastly, I would say a strong social dialogue. Belgium is known for its institutional system of social dialogue through negotiation. And having a sectoral social dialogue committee at national level that negotiates collective labor agreements that apply to all workers in the sector is a successful strategy. And this social dialogue for domestic workers in Belgium has worked to improve working conditions, to increase wages, to fund health and safety training for all domestic workers in the sector, and clearly professionalize domestic work. So political will and thus financial investment, strong trade unions, and strong social dialogue are the reasons why this is the best example of practice in Europe.
Thank you so much. Thanks to both of you for being with us.
Thank you very much for listening this far. Should you want to know more about what EFAT is doing for domestic workers, please go to the show notes and you'll find a few links. And equally, you will be able to download a few of our ETOI research papers.